World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, those of you who listen regularly recognize the fact I'm in my war uniform today. I know it's Flea Flicker Friday, but when I break out the camo hat and break out my camo shirt, not that I'm trying to hide from anybody. I'm not one of those secret camouflage Christians. Not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ here, for it is the power of God unto salvation. But I just put on my war uniform because it's a sign that I'm at war. Now I'm always at war, but really since that a war is breaking out all around. Listen, a lot of times, friends. Okay, you ready? I got this weekend. I've used it a number of times. Yeah, I'm going to get to Rust Isdar. That's all going on this weekend. I'm all excited about that. I understand that. But somebody, I don't know who, remember who it was. I'd give him credit if I remember who said it, but I don't remember. But they said this. Politics is war without blood. I want you to ponder that a minute. See, politics is about advancing a kingdom. Whether you want to realize it or not, it's about advancing a kingdom. And it's a war in which there is no blood. However, they use blood to advance the purposes of the war. Somebody can say amen. You don't have to because I'm over the target, right? Amen. But war is nothing more than politics with blood. That's all it is. And so we can say that we've been fighting a bloodless war if we want to. We can use that phrase. But boys and girls, let there be no doubt. We've been at war. It's a political war. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, your pastor, your church has told you that religion and politics don't mix. And Randy Lunsford told me about 10 days ago that politics is the gospel. Friends, politics is the gospel. If you can't see that, if you can't understand that it's about expanding the kingdom of God, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence and violent men take it by force. It's about force. See, when they can't win politically without blood, see, they are constantly forcing you and it appears to be bloodless. And it is bloodless. But as they continue to put pressure on you and on me, they are warring against us bloodlessly. But the truth is, they're occupying a lot of territory. Wait a minute. Truth is, we've given over a lot of territory. We've refused to fight for it. And I was, Bobby Lee's here. Pastor Stevie Kraft's going to be with us here in a second. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Here's what I'm telling you. And Pastor Stevie preached this weekend. That's why I had him here. Hey, folks, listen. I am up to my eyeballs sick of the racism charge. I'm sick. I'm absolutely sick. I'm sick of it. I'm going to say it again. I'm sick of it. And it has been the weapon of their warfare to the point where a white man can no longer have any opinion at all regarding race. Somebody say amen. Would somebody say that for me? If you're a white man, you are not allowed to have an opinion regarding race. And unfortunately, it is race that they're using to drive the agenda. Oh, if you can't see it, man, that would have been a great place for somebody to say amen. Because that's what's going on around. And we don't get it. See, we don't get it. So I've watched this. Go ahead, Vinny.
It's a race bait. You know that. It's a race bait.
Well, I go back and I watch that. Dare I say it? I watch that stupid LeBron James, huh? As Laura Ingraham would say, shut up and dribble. I watch LeBron James come out. And the shooting here in Columbus, Ohio, that we showed you the video of yesterday. It's all, folks, listen, do you have any idea? Stevie, maybe you could help me here, or anybody can help me here, or Vinny, you could help me, or any other black guys that might be in there. I don't even care about black and white. See, they make us think that way, right? Does anybody anybody have any idea, probably last night, how many black men killed other black men in America? Anybody have any idea how many there probably were? How many killed? A ridiculous number of black men killed black men last night. And so what they want to try to do is they want to convince the weak-minded amongst us that the real issue in the black community is whitey. Hey, listen, folks, listen. I got my uniform on because I ain't taking it anymore, okay? They can call me whatever they want to call me. I will not stop speaking the truth. My buddy, my good buddy, Mark Collier, sent me a text this morning. Bobby Lee's up there, and Bobby Lee could give testimony of what I said just before I got this text from Mark Collier today. Michelle could give you testimony of what I just said before Mark Collier sent me this text. Hang on, I'm going to get to you, Stevie. You hang on here a minute. And here's what Mark Collier said to me. You ready for this? He sent it to me at 6:45. Randy, are you ready? Because this nailed it. I said, yep, that's me. That's me. Here's what Mark sent to me this morning. He said, Coach, I'm not sure what you're preparing for this Flea Flicker Friday, but I was in the shower and I got this image. Don't take this wrong, as I know you won't, because it's meant for your encouragement. In Corinthians, it talks about the body. And the eye can't tell the hand, I have no need of you, etc. We all know what that scripture is, right? We all understand that scripture. And Mark says, Coach, you are the middle finger. Huh? You are the middle finger, fully extended, held high and boldly in the face of the adversary, and you help to make a spectacle of him. Sick him. Amen. That's it. Thanks, Mark. That's it. And I'm going to flip him off this morning. I'm going to flip off the adversary, the lie of the devil, before I bring Stevie in. Oh, I got a real, oh man. Russ Dizdar's coming. I don't need to say anything more about it. You guys know he's coming. Hope you can make it. If not, you can get the live streaming. I'm not going to spend all the day. I'm not going to spend all day talking about that. Okay? I'm just not. I got too much. I got my war uniform on today. Okay. I got my war uniform on. If you can, real quick for me, Spencer. Where is it? Where is the stuff I sent? There it is. Spencer, bring up for me my daggum computer. Be calm, Coach. Bring up for me the Black Father. It says Black Father. Black Father. Hey, you ain't going to see this anywhere. You're not going to see this anywhere. Huh? Hey, Stevie. I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. The young girl who was shot by the police officer here in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, I know about that one. I know about that one.
You suppose she had a daddy? Anybody suppose she had a daddy? Now, wait a minute.
I know. No.
Hang on here, Stevie. Hang on.
Okay.
In fact, she was in foster care. Hey, Bobby, she was in foster care. 15-year-old in foster care. Wonder how much anger was in that.
I hear my name, Coach. I'm talking to your wife. What were you saying?
That's all right. She was in foster care. She was in foster care. Why was she in foster care? No daddy. I'm sure no daddy. No structure, but it's Whitey. Huh? It's Whitey's fault. Hey, it's Whitey's fault, right? Play this. Play right here. Concerned Texas parent. This is about 2 minutes. Now, listen to this, folks. Hey, this isn't going to get me invited to the Chamber of Commerce. This show won't get me invited. I'm in war mode. I'm going to get Stevie in here a second. You hang on. Hang on. Go ahead and play this. A concerned parent speaks.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm an African-American man in Rockwall, Texas. I'm an ink spot in a bowl of milk. I see there was a book about Wilma Rudolph. And let me pull it up for you right quick. It says, and I quote, Wilma also noticed how hard her own mother worked as a maid and a cook. There's something not right about this, Wilma thought. White folks got all the luxury and we black folks got all the dirty work. Wilma became determined to do something other than serve white people. Let me tell you something. I don't subscribe to white supremacy. Because if I subscribe to white supremacy, that means I have to subscribe to black inferiority. And I am a four-time Iraqi freedom veteran. I am not inferior to anyone. Period. And I be damned if I teach my children that they are inferior to anyone. You get out of this world what you put into it. And there's no magical man pulling strings, holding my fate or my kids' fate, who are half black, fate in their hands. Because of whatever agenda. This isn't a black or white issue, conservative, liberal. This is white. Why would we put in our kids' heads that they can't do something or they are at a disadvantage just because of the way they were born? It makes no sense. And so I beg of you, please look into the Lucy Caulfield's curriculum. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Okay, stop it, right? Huh? Boy, what George Bush called it, the soft bigotry of low expectations. And I'm bringing you in here, Stevie. Hang on. I can feel you itching to get in here. Listen, can I say something? Can I say it? Okay, I'm going to say it, all right? There is no greater promoter of black inferiority than the local black pastor. I'm going to say that again. Any black pastor who claims Christ and stands in the pulpit and continually focuses on the color of the people in his congregation and how they can't get here because of this guy and they can't. Hey, listen, greater is he that is in you, whether you're black or white, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are overcomers, whether you're black. Hey, listen, I'm 5'7" on a good day. That's 5'7" on a good day. Are you ready for this? Are you looking? I ain't bragging. I'm just telling you something. I once scored 45 points in a high school basketball game before there was a three-point line. I scored 40 the weekend before. That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, my mom, when I was growing up, they called me Baby Dave. Why'd they call me Baby Dave? Because they used to write in the paper about me, hey, pint-sized. I was pint-sized in the newspaper. I'd strike out 13 in a baseball game, and they'd say, diminutive Dobbenmeyer. See, I didn't let that stuff get down inside me. I took it as a challenge. I took it as a challenge. And today, can I say it, Stevie? Can I say the truth, Stevie? Black pastors and black America have been some of the greatest hindrances to the expansion of the black man. Because black have been told everything they can't do. Diminutive Dobbenmeyer, pint-sized Dobbenmeyer. I heard him my whole life. Stevie, I'm 7 foot on the inside. Folks, Stevie, Reverend Pastor, Reverend Stevie Kraft in Lexington, Massachusetts. I heard him talk this weekend about, what do they call that, Stevie? That critical theory. That
critical poor, race. Critical
yeah, the
race
black,
theory.
Poor blacks. I don't know, guys, do you guys know this? Those poor black people, they can't even get an ID. They don't even know where to get an ID, those poor black people. And Stevie, that ought to be an insult to every black American. Huh? No, they try to make Myra feel bad because those poor black people can't get an ID. Hey, Stevie, can I tell you the truth? Some of them got 10. Some of them got 10 IDs, right? Don't tell me that crap. Soft bigotry of low expectation. Hey, we're taking it on here today. That's Come right. on in. I'll shut up. Come on in, Stevie.
Hey, listen, you're spot on. The brothers, that clip that you just played, think about this, your audience. Any black person, or any person, white or black, or anything in between, that even lets the ideology of white supremacy invade their spirit is saying what that brother just said. By definition, denounces and says that the opposite of white supremacy is black inferiority. That'll preach right there.
Hey, I'm Stevie,
I'm running with that.
Stevie, how long you been black? How long you been black, Stevie?
77 years, and I won't turn white anytime soon.
Okay, so you've been black 77 years, and help me out here, Stevie. You have a master's degree from Harvard. Is that right, Stevie? You got a master's degree from Harvard University?
Yeah. I hold a master's of divinity from Harvard University School of Divinity. And that's why, see, let me explain something to your audience. I graduated in the class of 96 in Cambridge, Massachusetts, Harvard University School of Divinity. And back then, it's a whole lot worse now, I would imagine. But back then, they were studying critical race theory because all the analysis in all of these Ivy League schools is based on three types of analysis: race, class, and gender.
Hey, folks, now listen, folks, listen, because Stevie's going to unpack this, folks. This is so critical that we understand it. Stevie, stay on that now. Say that again.
All of the analysis in all of your Marxist universities, starting with your Ivy Leagues, are based on either race, class, or gender. That is what has happened over the years. And with the race card works when class doesn't work, because like you heard me say, Coach, when you were here last weekend, people change, class is subjective and it's fluid.
So in other words, Stevie, you can get an education and you can go from low class to middle class, or you can get rich and go from middle class to upper class, whatever that means.
Class
doesn't work for them anymore.
What they've done, Stevie,
I don't mean to interrupt you, man. I think for the audience. Okay. That's all I'm doing. Trying to clarify what you're saying. So I was born a Melungeon, folks. My mom and dad climbed out of the hills of wherever, but I'm not anymore. I climb. So they can't use class against me anymore because I ain't that class anymore. Go ahead, Stevie.
Yeah. So what they've done, and this is the big lie, the big deception. You have black billionaires, you have black multimillionaires, you have black millionaires, you have black middle class, you have black working class, and you have the black underclass. So they don't play the class card too much anymore, the bourgeois versus the proletariat. They don't use that anymore because it doesn't work that well. What they use that always works, that's irrefutable, is the race card. Because a leopard cannot change its spots.
Oh, man. Hey, Stevie, so they call you an Uncle Tom, and Stevie wants to be white, and Stevie hangs out in a white neighborhood because you can't change skin color, can you, Stevie? Can't change that one. Oh, you can change your class. And Stevie, even today, you can change your gender.
Exactly. That's another communist plot. That's why you heard me say that they've pushed class to the back, but the gender thing now, they've twisted that with gender identity. See, all of this stuff comes straight out the pits of hell. But what people do not understand is from whence does hell come from? This is a spiritual battle that can only be fought spiritually with spiritual weapons. Coach has told the people he has on his camos. When he was here at my house, I had on my camos because this is war. This is not for these pretty boys, but I heard Coach mention something about black pastors. Let me tell you, your audience this. There is no such thing as black pastors who really are shepherds to the flock. They are hirelings. They know what the real deal is, but yet they also know that there is big money in the race card, and they
Reverend Jesse Jackson, Reverend Al Sharpton, right, Stevie, huh? Hirelings, John 10:10. We're aware of those hirelings here in John 10:10. And you're telling me, man, you can keep a congregation together if you can get them to say, hey, it's all us black folk against the world, right, Stevie? It's us black folk against the world.
Exactly. Now let me take you a little further than Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, because they'll be going off the scene pretty soon. How many of you guys have heard of Raphael Warnock?
Oh yeah.
Okay. He is in the United States Congress.
Senate.
He is also the so-called pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, which was the church of Martin Luther King.
Wow. See,
so he's in Congress, but yet Reverend Warnock is oppressed. He's an oppressed United States senator that pastors one of the largest, most historic churches in the United States, but he's oppressed.
What's he telling his people about race relations? You're supposed
to know exactly what he's talking about.
In that good Christian church where he says there is no Greek, there is no male, there is no female, huh? That we're all one. What's Reverend Warnock telling them there in Ebenezer Baptist Church, Stevie?
All one has to do is get online and read some of his sermons. And he's been pastoring that church for a long time. Jeremiah Wright in Chicago. See, so let me tell you, your listening audience, some things. These false preachers, many of them came through Union Theological Seminary in New York City, which has been liberal with liberation theology going back hundreds of years, going back a long time.
Stevie, because it's a weapon, right? Liberation theology is a weapon.
Exactly. And liberation theology is one of the roots. See, Black Lives Matter, all they did was soften the name. It was the Black Liberation Movement going back before. But it's the same thing. They just updated it and softened out the name. When I was at Harvard Divinity School from 93 to 96, They didn't call it Black Lives Matter. They called it the Black Liberation Movement coming out of Black Liberation Theology, which basically came out of Union Theological Seminary in New York City. This stuff is not new.
Stevie, I got to ask you, Stevie, what was it like being a slave? How long were you a slave, Stevie?
I've never been a slave. Let me clarify that. I was a slave to heroin. Let me unpack that. No, I was a slave. I was a slave to sin. I wasn't a slave to some white man with a rope and a Ku Klux Klan.
Wait a minute. You didn't live down in some plantation pick cotton, Stevie?
No, the plantation I was on was in my mind.
Boom.
Well, they want us to believe that all you folks came out of oppression and slavery, and nobody gave you no chance. You had to drink out of your own water. Stevie, did you ever drink out of a black water fountain? I mean, maybe you did, but huh?
Okay. Let me kind of unpack Jim Crow. Jim Crow. Okay, Coach, you're old enough. You came of age during the Jim Crow era. It was bad. It was hard. This is what's happening today. Spiritually, the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians chapter 5 that whatever a man sows, that is what he will reap. And what is happening now, back in the Jim Crow era, the whites oppressed the blacks under the law with Jim Crow for 100 years. Now they are reaping what they sowed in Jim Crow, and it's the blacks oppressing the whites. So what has got to happen is people of all skin colors that love God and see through this madness have got to come together and realize that this is a sowing and reaping thing. The blacks now figure, okay, baby, it's payback time. You did it to us in Jim Crow for 100 years, and everybody knows 100 years is 100 years.
Hey, Stevie, I'm giving the middle finger to racism. You see it? I'm giving the middle finger to it. I'm giving the middle finger to those who want to accuse me of it. I'm giving the middle finger to those who want to preach about it. I'm giving the middle finger to those who use it as an excuse. I'm giving it the middle finger to those who feel guilty because of it. Stevie, it's all a plan and a ply and a tool of the enemy.
Yeah, let's do better. Let's do better than the middle finger thing. And for obvious reasons, I know the brother that told you that off Flickr Friday, he meant well, but let's go a little higher. And I'm not going to back up off of what I'm about to say. Let's do this. Rather than going with the middle finger, which is number one, ungodly and worldly, because we know what it means, let us take both of our hands and let us lift our hands to heaven. Forget the middle finger. Let us lift both our hands to heaven, Let us look up from where our help comes from. And let us say, Lord, we're not going to play the devil's game on the
devil's game
with no middle finger.
Amen.
No, no. We're going to take both our hands. I feel the anointing coming on. Coach, I feel a preach coming on. Let us lift our hands toward heaven. Let us look up from where our help comes from. And let us say, Lord Jesus, let us lift our hands to heaven.
Amen.
No middle finger in the morning. Let us say, God, help us with this thing. Because you're going to bless the middle finger, but what you will bless is if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and say, Lord, there ain't no righteous whites. There ain't no righteous blacks. We're all sinners and come short of your glory, but we humble ourselves. We submit to God and we resist the devil, and that devil has to flee from us. Amen.
Amen.
You're making them mad here this morning, Stevie. Making them mad here in the story. Hey!
Amen.
I ain't afraid of no ghost. Remember Ghostbusters? I ain't afraid of no ghost. I ain't afraid of no racism. I ain't afraid of nobody calling me names. I ain't afraid of them. I'm afraid of the truth, baby. I'm afraid of the... Hey, Stevie, I got some people want to talk to you real quickly. Hang on. Amy, you're the first one, then Joe, then Roger. Come on in, Amy. Got to unmute yourself. There you go.
What, honey?
She's gone. She's gone. Joe, come on in, Joe, and then Rog. Come on in, Roger. I know you're ready to go, Roger.
I'm ready to go. Two things. One, why does the black community not understand if 80% of the black families are being raised their children without fathers at home? Why do they not see that's the issue, Spencer?
Wow, good question. Why? Come on, Stevie.
Okay, first of all, let me clarify some things. There is no such thing as the black community.
Amen, brother.
Okay.
Any more than there's a whole.
Hold on. No, let me unpack this. There is no more a black community than there is the white community. People are individuals. There is no way of thinking black, just like there's no way of thinking white, or no way of thinking Asian, or no way of thinking Hispanic. People are individuals. And many people in the black community understand quite well what's going down, because there are 40%, at least if the stats are true, at least 40% of intact black families. Now, here's the problem. People on both sides of this race card, be they black, listen to the propaganda from mainstream media. So when I hear comments like, why doesn't the black community? I know where that comes from. That does not come from heaven. That comes from MSNBC, Fox, CNN, right. ABC, CBS, and what have you. Because when people understand that in the scriptures, in the word of God, there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, slave nor free, that we are one in Christ Jesus, prejudice, these stereotypes about communities, like there's a black community. There's
okay, no- Steve, so Stevie, Roger, I just realized something. I'm a member of the broadcasting community, but I don't know any of them. I don't
Thank
communicate
you.
With them.
Got
I don't
it.
Live near them, right? I, I'm not, right?
Got it. Okay, you just hit it, Coach. Let's for Roger, for example, I am a black American with an African ancestry. I am not an African American. I was not born in Africa.
Amen.
I was born in America. So what Coach just said, listen to this. I am black. Oprah Winfrey is black. We're sure not in the same community.
Amen on that one. Got that one right.
Well, go back to my question, though, and I appreciate the definition of community. You're right. 75% of black homes where children are being raised, there is not a father figure in the home at birth. It's decimating the black community. Now, the hillbilly community or the hillbilly family is not much better, you know.
No, we're following along. That's right. Governments are daddy.
The hillbilly white guys aren't doing much.
Easy, Roger. You know? Easy, Roger.
But my question is, there does not seem to be any recognition of that being the one of the biggest issues that's confronting. I don't know what to say other than community, but the black culture.
Okay,
I feel you. Here's the measure. Here's the measure. And Coach, I think Coach heard me say this. Yeah, in fact, I know he did Monday night when we preached in New Hampshire. Here's the measure. The true haters. What is the true definition of a hater? A hater is one who hates the truth because they love the lie. People can deceive themselves to believe what is true is false, and what is false is true. In other words, when these people, single parent, fatherless homes, which are one of the main reasons, if not the primary reason, for a lot of this dysfunction, they will take that statistic, which they know is true, but they will not embrace it as truth. They will say it's because of the 200 years of slavery where the white man would separate the families and separate and sell the man, the father, to one slave master and sell the wife to another and split up the children. So there's always going to be an argument to a counter argument. So that does not work. If you study this whole phenomenon, when it comes to that issue, the blacks who are dysfunctional that understand that fatherlessness is the real foundation, which it is, they're not going to say, oh, you're right. We need to build our family. It's just like with the murder rate in the inner cities. The blacks are killing the blacks, yet at the same time, they have man conniptions when a couple of rogue cops, white cops, kill a black who's a criminal before they gunned them down. So you're not going to be able to use those kind of arguments to convince these people of what they don't want to hear.
Okay, Stevie. So listen, right. I'm about to get banned on Facebook. Hang on, I'm going to get you folks in here. I'm about to get banned, okay? I'm not doing it on purpose, but I'm about to get banned. So remember, go to CoachDaveLive.com to find me. Lyndon Johnson said when he passed the Civil Rights Act, he said, we're going to keep those niggers voting Democrat for 100 years.
He said 200 years.
Okay, now Stevie, I can't even use that word. I'm just quoting what somebody else said, and I can't even use that word, right? You with me, Stevie? So they're going to put a block on me because I used a word they say is wrong. I quoted somebody else. I'm not even allowed. Folks, you understand what's going on? You understand how they control? Hey, Stevie, they want to get in here. I got to let them in. Come on in, Joe.
Well, this all boils down to one of my favorite movies. We got a failure to communicate.
And that's my favorite movie.
Failure is the white, the brown, the blacks, the Hispanics, the Asians are in federal prisons, state prisons. Get them out of the state prisons, federal prisons, put them back in the homes, take their children behind the woodshed with the hickory stick, wear their asses out, and there won't be no Black Lives Matter. There won't be no Antifa. There won't be no skinny jeans people on the streets. Whip that ass.
Amen. Come on in, Rochelle, and then Myra.
Good morning, Mr. Stevie. Thanks for being here. Okay, this is such a big topic because it's not just a black and white thing. This is a whole divide and conquer thing. They use the whole term of body shaming so that you can't tell somebody that they're unhealthy, and that's going to help the pharmaceutical company. Uh-huh. They use the whole Robin Hood thing to keep the rich and the poor separated, give to the poor, and then they can defund the police. They use the whole suppression of women, and that's leading, we need our rights so now we can get abortion and all of that. And then they use words like they'll call me a Christian extremist when it's the Islamic people who want to say, kill the infidel. They use this great gay straight agenda so that we now have to tolerate everything. Jesus boiled it down with the story of the Good Samaritan because the Jewish people, for whatever reason, they were so prejudiced against the Samaritans. He said, look, that's the person who helped, and that is my neighbor. But the key to this whole thing is that however they can keep us divided is what they're going to do. And this black-white thing works.
Come on.
Hey, Stevie. Do you know if any black people don't have an ID, can't vote?
Don't go there, Coachman. Don't go there. That's ridiculous. Hey, I just want to give Sister Myra, her props. She hit it. Hey, the devil knows. And Jesus made it clear. A house divided cannot stand. And she hit it 100%.
This is Rochelle. And one more thing. All of the so-called charity that they give out is only to keep anybody suppressed. If they're going to give you a handout and not a hand up, beware.
They call that a bribe. Come on in, Myra. Come on in, Myra, then Luann, then Randy.
That's good, Rochelle.
Good morning, Saints. How are you? Thank you, Steve, for coming to the huddle. I just have a scripture to read. Romans 2:11, for there's no respect of person with God. Thank you.
Amen. Some of those pastors need to learn that. For there is no respect of persons with God unless you're under Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton or one of those race baiters. Come on, Luann, then Randy.
All right, I'm here. Come in. I remember it was the Islam people. The Muslims. They took over a village in Africa. They dug a trench and took over another small black village. And they burned them alive. They're killing themselves. They want to kill the infidel, so to speak. All right, so then they want to blame it on Americans and do that. We didn't do that. They did that.
That's right.
Okay? A nation divided against itself cannot stand.
It's got to be divided against itself, and that's what they're doing. They're dividing us against ourselves. Randy, before you come in, Mark Trump. Go ahead.
They're causing us to fight with each other.
Yes, we see that, Luann. Hey, listen, Gary just emailed me. We are cutting off registration. If you want to come to the event, pay at the door. Yes, you can pay at the door, but we're cutting off registration online. When this show's over, registration's done off online. Okay, you can still get the live stream, but online. But rest of the registration's got to be at the door. Sorry, Luann. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you all off. But got a note from Gary, and it's important. Randy, and then Mark Trump, Are you in there, Mark or Randy? Whoever.
Go ahead, Randy. I was just going to ask where Stevie lived. Is he going to be there to huddle this weekend?
No, I'm in Massachusetts, Lexington, Massachusetts, where the Revolutionary War kicked off.
Got it. Hey. Jump on our events page, Stevie. We want to see you in person if you can.
Amen. I'll come. Coach was with me last weekend.
Stevie's just an Uncle Tom bootlicking sellout black guy. That's all he is. You don't want to hear nothing. That's what they say, isn't it, Stevie? Isn't that what they say?
Hey, listen. Hey, what them funny names they called you? Hey, listen, it went in one ear and out the other, right, Coach?
That's right. Randy, come on in, then a higher breath.
Hey, listen. Pay it no mind, man. Really.
Pay it no mind. Go ahead, Randy.
Hey, Coach, this is good. But we've identified this problem, years and years and years ago. But here's what we got to do, Coach. We got to do 2 Corinthians 4:13. Paul said, we believe, therefore we speak. Coach, the voice now with truth, we have to put truth out there, whatever it costs us. Yep. Stevie is speaking out. He's speaking truth. So if, in other words, when we're not speaking the truth, nobody's hearing. Nobody can hear. So I know we're censored everywhere we turn, but we still have to speak to the, on my job, Coach, I speak to my black brother, dry concrete drivers, every time. Brother, I love you. I don't see color. Or how about you? And, you know, I speak. We have to speak. That is the key to turning this around. And it ain't just looking back what's happened. It's looking now in the moment.
Amen, Randy.
Yeah, that's the voice of truth.
Exactly, bro. See, what I'm trying to do, I mentioned it to Coach this past weekend when he was up here in New England. What I need, you guys to pray for me, I need a motorhome, a small motorhome that I can get back on the road during the week. Obviously, I have to be in Lexington every Sunday, but I need a motorhome. I need a quality, small, not a big one, a small motorhome so that during the week, I can do exactly what you said, brother, the wife and I, and Mrs. Shirley,
Amen. On
occasion, that we can get out on the road, because my best friend is Hal Shirley. Hal know who Coach knows. He met him. He met him before I met Coach. And we need to get out on the road. We need a motorhome.
Can you guys imagine? Amen. Can you imagine the headache we would cause the God haters if we did an event with David Arthur and Stevie Kraft? Huh? Would that blow their freaking mind?
Let's do it.
That would upset the apple cart, wouldn't it?
Huh?
See,
let's
folks, do it. Listen, we have to quit.
How much money is a motorhome?
I don't know. You guys got to research it. I don't know.
He just needs something he can drive and sleep in. That's all he needs. He doesn't need a motorhome. He can have a van, a pop-up van, drive. Well, Stevie, we'll get some folks to work on that. We'll get that work.
We'll do that, Coach. We'll find one.
Ohio Brett, come on in, then Craig.
Hey, guys, and Stevie, God bless you, Stevie. That was going to be my question, my brother. You just answered it. You reached it out. We'll take it to prayer. And what you don't know about this team is it's led by Coach Dave, one of the greatest high school football coaches in the state of Ohio. And as a former strong safety, Stevie, we don't see color, but we got quarterbacks on this team. We got linemen. We got backup punters. We got water boys. We got water boys that are just as equal to the starting quarterback. So God bless you, Stevie. We'll see you soon. And for those of you coming today, don't forget the homework assignment. You were supposed to watch that awful Eyes of the Devil. Do your homework.
Come on. Amen, Brett. Hey, listen, folks. Somebody sitting out there says, you know, we got that camper. We don't use that thing. Hey, Esther, we don't use that camper. Hey, you can donate it to Camp Constitution, or you can donate it to Stevie and get a tax write-off rather than let it sit there and rot. Put him on this. Yeah, come on, man. Come on. Craig, come on in.
Amen. Hey, your audience, what some of you might not know, when Coach said about getting Stevie Kraft and David Arthur together, both of them, Coach and David, was at the house church here in Lexington this past weekend. So I had a double whammy with both of them brothers. I had the coach. And I had Brother David Arthur, and we tore the devil through.
See, folks, this is what the Bible calls tearing down strongholds, right?
Yes.
Strongholds in people's mind. See, they tell you that you were born homosexual, born transgender, till you hear David Arthur. Then what do you say? They tell you you're born black and oppressed until you talk to Stevie Kraft. Then what do you say? Then see, we have to hit them with truth bombs.
There you go.
Why I say David Arthur is an atomic weapon against the homo agenda, right?
Right. Exactly.
Stevie Kraft is an atomic weapon against the racial agenda. These guys lived it, folks. They lived it. The left cannot argue with these. They hate these guys.
That's right.
The truth flies in the face of everything they want to say. Come on in, Patriots 1776, Kevin.
Thanks, Coach. Hey, Steve, it's good to meet you. I'm a brother up in New Hampshire, just a little ways up from you.
Amen.
Yeah, I just wanted to make two points. One of the most profound things anyone ever told me was that the most dangerous thing to do in any war is to not know that you're in one. Not know you're in one, so then you just a sitting duck. And then secondly, I wanted to piggyback off of when Coach brought up Uncle Tom, okay? And The thing is if anybody's ever read the book, it wasn't Uncle Tom that was the villain. It was the Sambo. Okay. That's right. And so Sambo, if any of you have read the book, okay, he was the strong slave that was employed by the slave master to keep the other slaves in line. If they escaped, it was Sambo that went out to get them and haul them back. I think of i.e. Maxine Waters, Jesse Jackson, Reverend Al Sharpton. So just kind of keep that in mind.
Sambo.
Let me tell your people that the brother, what he just said, is historically correct. When you read that book, Uncle Tom's Cabin, they took Uncle Tom, who was a courageous slave that told that wicked Simon Legree, he says, I hid those slave women in the swamps. I'm not telling you where they are. He says, you can beat me to death, but I'll sell out and tell you where I hid those slaves.
So Uncle Tom was a protector.
He was a martyr. He was a type of Christ. And what Legree, Simon Legree, the white evil slave master did, he had Sambo, who was the black overseer, whip Uncle Tom to death. But what the devil has done today is take that beautiful Uncle Tom motif and spun it around into something negative and evil to make people think that Uncle Tom was some shuffle. So he's correct. He's one of the few. This brother that just said that is one of the few people that has read Harry Beecher Stowe, Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Come on in, Vinny.
That's good stuff, man.
Hey, listen. Stevie Kraft's the only guy who talks more than me. Come on in, Vinny.
Okay, hey. I'm pretty sure you guys know this. I researched all this. I don't have a slave mentality. I'm pretty sure Steve echoes that. Slave mentality is this whole walking around, yes sir, boss, no sir, boss, all this nonsense.
Yeah,
right. You know, it's just dumb. I just want to say it out loud. I think it should be clear though.
Thanks, Vinny. Come on, Craig.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
It always goes down to basics. If you're not unified in Christ, you're divided in the world.
Come on.
And this is Satan's tactics. Mm-hmm. His thing is to look at the differences that exist in each one of us and hyper those up and use them against the Lord. Instead of us putting our minds and our spirits, knowing what the battle really is spiritual, which is what your guest has said. Mm-hmm. And so when we lose our unification in Christ, it doesn't matter what color we are, it doesn't matter what country we come from, doesn't matter what part of the world we come from. Mm-hmm. We start to lose.
So I got to figure it out. Ohio Brett is the strong safety. Stevie Kraft is the free safety. And David Arthur is the nose man. We're building us a team here, aren't we?
Amen.
We're building us a team. This is unbelievable. Jim Bruner, come on in, Jim.
Amen.
Good morning. Enjoying this discussion this morning. I want to drop three things in the huddle if I could. I'll try to make it real short. To Roger's point earlier, all families are being destroyed. It doesn't matter the color of the skin.
Amen.
It's either in the form of allowing bed hopping and paying you off for it, or you don't like that person that you're married to, here's a piece of paper with a D on.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's one thing. Pastor Steve, when I saw you in the huddle early this morning, two things. If you would try to go to talk to other people and lay this truth on them, I'm pretty sure a lot of them would say, you're just a crazy old fool.
Yeah, you're right.
Which is very sad.
Yeah.
And if we go to the Bible, when Solomon died and his son was about to take over, the next king in line listened to the young, not the old.
Correct. Absalom, you're right.
There we are. Thanks, Jim. Come on in, Steve Deck. And then Deborah And then Joseph. Steve, did you mute yourself? We'll catch back up.
No, he's correct. Absalom, and there's a story about one of the youngsters. I don't remember his name because I don't have the scripture in front of me. Said, "Hey, my daddy beat you with a whip. I'm gonna beat you with scorpion and chains. I'm gonna make it worse than he did for you." So that's true. That's why we have to reach the youth. We have to get
the young ones. Steve,
we got to get the young ones.
No. Deborah, come on in. Deborah O'Brien and Joe. Hey, David Arthur, a nose tackle. A nose tackle is the guy who lines up on the defense right over the ball. He's right over the top of the center.
Well, thank you for clarifying that, because I'm like, I don't know what it means, but I'm just in. That's all I know, I'm in. And I wanted to speak on that, too, about the families and because it's not just the Black community, right, that's running around with fatherless children. It's I was a fatherless child, right? My brothers were fatherless children. All of the people I knew were fatherless, except the ones whose fathers molested me in their basement. But right. But now we have homosexuals that are adopting children. We have now here's a real conundrum for your brain. We have men that are trying to transition to become women, and women that are transitioning to become men, and they're coming together and they're having babies. So it looks like there's pregnant men walking around the streets.
All eyes, baby. Huh? All eyes. All eyes. The father lies. Joe Allen, right. then Vinny, then Ohio Brett and Rochelle. We'll get you all in here. Go ahead, Joe.
Miss Stevie, I'm so glad that you're part of this huddle now. But when I see you, I want to see a hickory stick. So you take care of those youngins. And I want to see a cross hat on your head.
Hey, Coachman, tell him about my camo outfit.
You got a camo hat.
Coach, I was playing right guard for 7 years.
Okay.
I'm a veteran of the Vietnam era.
Vinny, come on in. Then hire Brett and Jack. Rochelle, sorry.
Hey, I just went and looked up something because I found it interesting what Steve had just mentioned about Simon.
Vinny needs to start coming to
And here's the thing, guys. Once again, it's a Black versus white, this whole thing, and it's arranged. It's not natural. I think we can all see that now. Right. It's not natural. Simon Legree is not white. He's a representative of the Antichrist in the book. That's why I just looked up. Right? Mm. So not white. Not white, guys.
Interesting. Brett, Jack, and then Rochelle.
Hey, guys, I am so excited to be part of this huddle. What a great way to start our days. Everybody who's on this call, if your ears are working, you got to go to your friends. You got to go to your neighbors. You got to go to your former buddies that you played sports with and said, hey, I start my day every Monday through Friday. I start my day at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I get my butt on CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive.com. So if you aren't doing that, I don't know what you're doing. If you aren't prayerfully considering how you can support Coach's ministry, I don't know what you're doing. And I will say this, Stevie, man, what a blessing you are, man. What a blessing you are. And David, I know you never played football, but you need to know how important the offensive line and the defensive line is.
Amen.
And that nose guard is in the center. That means you get hit on every play. There's some pretty wide receivers that at the end of their game, they're still clean and white. They're not dirty. The linemen are dirty, baby.
And listen, David Arthur has got some weight behind him himself. And he said, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back twice as hard.
That's why he's
no joke.
Folks, listen. Here's the method. We got. I'm going to get you in here, Jack, Mark. Hang on. Listen, look at me. You guys looking at me? Stop the white shaming. Don't let them do that to you anymore. Do not let them do that anymore. You didn't pick your parents any more than Stevie picked his, right? Nobody picks their parents. And it's time that you stop being ashamed or let them shame you because of who your parents were. Enough of that stuff. By the way, I don't know about you. I'm a dead man. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's just a meat suit that I'm walking around in, and I refuse to allow them to identify me by the type of hamburger I walk around in. Come on in, come on in, Jack, and then come on in, Mark. Go ahead.
Hey, Red Coachman.
Jack, come on in.
Hey, Rev, it's good to see you. Hey, this is just so awesome because this is the unity we've been looking for years. And, you know, all I hear is the assessment is chaos. This is chaos. We're in chaos. And the New World Order is getting ready to bring unity out of chaos. And we got to beat them to it. That's you guys right. are doing the it right here.
Last thing they want is me and Steve E and David Arthur and Jim Brunner and Steve Deck and Jeff Klein and Marvis standing side by side. That's the last thing they want. Come on in, Mark Trump.
Come on.
I wanted to share. Joe wanted to give Stevie a stick. How about we give him an almond rod like in Jeremiah and go out and rule nations with it and subdue the enemy? We all need to have an almond rod.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, I'm glad he said that. I'll tell you why. He got that out of Jeremiah chapter 1 when God asked Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I see an almond rod. He told him, he says, I've called you to be a prophet and I've called you to do certain things. To first tear down, then throw down, then pull down, then plant and build. Now tell me, what do you see? But before we can plant and build, we have to throw down, tear down, root up. See, so I'm glad the brother went into Jeremiah chapter 1 and pulled that out, because I preached that sermon about 3 years ago over in Cape Town, South Africa. I go over there every year. I couldn't go this year, account of this COVID lockdown nonsense. But that's good, brother. Stay with that. What do you see? I see an almond rod. So thank you for that. Thank you for that, brother.
Quickly, yes, sir. Quickly, Clay. Come on in, Clay. Trying to get new ones in. Go ahead, Clay, and then Jeff.
All right, I'm 49 years old. I grew up in Mobile, Alabama. So in the second grade, I went to a integrated school, you know, with blacks and whites. And I had friends in the second grade. And we didn't know anything about racism until we heard the parents talking about it and grandparents. So where they messed up is, we were friends with each other. We went out on them playgrounds, and we played, and we had a good time. And then on the weekends or at night, we'd be around the adults, and then they'd be talking bad about our friends.
Yeah.
So, that ended up teaching us that racism wasn't right because they were talking bad about our friends.
Hey, man, come on in, Jeff Klein. Sorry, I'm trying to get y'all in here.
Coach, good example. Years ago, Pastor Bill and four or five of us guys, there's about six of us, went into the west side in downtown Columbus. I asked Pastor Bill, we're going in there Saturday night about 9:30, 10 o'clock. And I said, what are we doing? He said, we're going into crack town to turn it into Christ town.
Come on.
As soon as we were on that street corner, here's what happens. The city cops pull up to Columbus and said, hey, what are six of you white guys doing in a neighborhood like this? On this Saturday night, he said, we can't protect you once we roll out of here. Pastor Bill held up the Bible. He said, buddy, we got all the protection we need. We got Jesus. And the people in the neighborhood started coming out on the porches, out in the street, and we had great conversations with them. At first, I was a little fear. I'm like, you're crazy. But it was all great.
Come on. That's good.
For truth. Come on in, for truth.
I just wanted to say the color of your meat suit means nothing. It's all about the truth in your heart. And Stevie, your truth is shining, brother. Your truth is shining.
Amen. Amen. And Uncle Tom's a good thing, from what I understand.
No, that's true. Read the book.
That's a good thing.
Read Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Amen. David Arthur, real quick, and then Rochelle, I'll let you wrap it up.
I'm going to say that I just sent Spencer this meme. The Christian masculine male and specifically the Caucasian Christian masculine male is being targeted not just by the LGBTP movement, right, but by the entire left and right. And it's part of their manifesto. They said all males who insist on remaining stupidly heterosexual will be tried in homosexual courts of justice and will become invisible men. Every university in our nation has a course that belittles and tears apart white masculine men.
They're after white Christian masculine men, boys. Hey, I hope Right Wing Watch picked that one up. They're after white Christian masculine men. Come on in, Rochelle. Wrap this up here.
Okay. Hey, you got your cheer prayer warriors on the team too, Coach. I moved to Central Florida from Indiana when I was six. Very, very white Indiana. Central Florida, there's a road called Division Street. And the black people are on that side and white people are on this side. That's why it was called Division Street. And I went to a school where it was 90% black. I couldn't even understand what the teacher was saying. And there was a young black girl student with me, and she helped me so much. I wouldn't have been able to get through that year of school. I have never been racist. And as far as, is it okay to say this, that we've got strong black men condemning critical race theory? Yep. I heard in Virginia, there's a school, the school board, the student, parents are suing the school board for teaching this. And I just want to say thank you again for coming.
Okay, folks.
Racism is made up.
Let me tell you something, folks. Stevie Craft is not the minority in the black community they want us to believe he is. There are millions and millions of black men and white men who are sick of it. Hey, boys and girls, take off that white shame, that white guilt. Stand up for truth. Stand up for Jesus. God bless y'all. We'll see it. Some of you will see this weekend. Rest of you will see on Monday morning.
God bless you all. God bless you all.
Stay right there, Stevie. Stay right there, brother.